All right, guys.
We're here. We're back. It's 2023. Welcome to episode number 83 of The Crunch. We have Shane Beaumont back in the room with us. Welcome, Shane.
G'day, Jess.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How was your holiday?
A week before we have to stop saying that.
Yeah, I know. You have to do that thing where when you get an email from clients, you have to remember, have I spoken to this person already this year, or is Happy New Year appropriate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it gets to the point where it's almost Easter.
It's got a week.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
yeah.
You're going away?
You can probably hear, guys, we've also got Roscoe back in the studio, Ross Hunter.
Jess, hello.
It is your first time with us since August of 2022.
Really?
It's been nearly 6 months.
So have you missed me? Have the ratings dropped?
They have.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they have.
You're not sharing it amongst your friends.
Clearly. The three that I've got.
How have you been?
Good.
Busy? Too busy for us? Busy in Rottnest?
Yeah, you know, just decompressing.
Good.
Decompressing.
Good to hear. Good to hear. We have you both in the studio today. We wanted to do a bit of a recap of 2022 and a bit of a future forecast for 23.
Yeah.
I'm seeing if you're around, but obviously they don't have your know-how. Rostradamus.
Rostradamus is back.
We want another you've been hanging your hat on your prediction of 3 years ago for 3 years now, so it's time for a new one.
And I'm ready to roll.
You ready to roll?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. So 2022, what a year. COVID recovery.
Mm-hmm.
We finally opened up properly to the world in about March, April last year, correct?
It was.
Yeah. Yep.
Properly?
Yep.
The RBA increased the cash rate for the first time since 2012, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In succession.
Yeah.
In succession. inflation rose, lots of stuff going on that was affecting the property market. So I want to look back on 2022. Give 2022 a rating for me, A, B, C, D, E, F. A, B, C, D, F. You don't give E's.
On just the results, the sentiment.
The sentiment.
Yeah. Because I think if you took, even with all those things you've mentioned,
yeah,
I don't think the market's really changed that much because of those things.
I agree. So I'd go an A.
You'd go an A?
Yeah.
A.
A? Yeah. Beautiful. It is funny because if you...
Sorry, I'll rephrase it. A, as far as the conditions for the market, probably in the selling side, and we work for sellers.
Yeah.
I do have empathy for the rental market.
Mm.
So I guess overall I would say A in the selling market. Mm. Rental market, the government have not been reactive enough. That's the reality of it. Mm. And there hasn't been enough policies to encourage investment.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately that side I would say would be a C.
Yeah, probably even D, mate, to be honest.
Yeah.
Some of the stories out there in relation to,
and
to
we're
what's
seeing
going
too.
On or not is just
it's not, sometimes you hear these stories and you watch, yeah, that didn't happen. What you're hearing on the radio is definitely happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
It's funny as well because when you talk about the selling market being an A, if you were looking at most of the news, national news, you certainly wouldn't think that.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're very much in our own little market over here.
Also what I think Jess has stood alone is for a long time the West Australian economy we know has been sort of a bit of an island and very strong, and COVID's really driven that to be its own beast.
Mm-hmm.
And which it's I guess for the first time, I'm no economist, but for the first time in a very, very long time, our own economy has got given the state its own pulse aside from the rest of the country. And it's really coming off the back of that.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Let's face it, the real estate market at the end of the day, when you distill it down to its most simplistic form, is driven by confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of confidence in the state still. You know, all the rest of it is rhetoric, but it ultimately comes down to confidence.
Yeah.
And if you do wind back, I know Rostradamus is here, but we did speak, both of us, about if you took, and I don't want to use negative equity this year, but if we took it out of it, the market would be free-flowing. Well, that's happened.
Yeah.
Those 14 prices have been surpassed, other than probably development sites and secondhand villas and apartments in certain sections of the market. That did happen, which meant those buyers in Bicton or East Frio, Karrinup, there's no coincidence those areas went nuts because the buyer that was going to purchase them was moving, they had equity, and they could see good value.
Yeah.
So I think, and the other thing worth noting, a lot of people say, oh, there's no growth at the moment. What it was that probably 18 months ago or 12 months ago, that bumper sale of 1.4, which was 200, I guess, more than like for like previously, then now the market knows that's the market.
Mm-hmm.
So don't, when you're seeing these sort of holding your ground, it's not necessarily not showing growth. It's just the market has reached true market value.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there was probably some bargains out there looking back over that period. At the time, it didn't feel like a bargain, but I can tell you right now, you ask most agents in Perth, they got a bumper sale and they're like, Jesus. And now looking back, that's the smartest bloke in the room.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we'll come back to that, Shane, when we look at kind of what we're thinking about next year. But I just want to ask you, you both had a few changes to your business in 2022. Shane, you changed agencies this last year.
Yes.
It was last year.
Yes, just gone 12 months.
Yeah, it was really already.
Yeah.
Wow. So tell me, what are the most significant changes within your business last year that made the – obviously.
For myself?
Yeah.
Well, I had a child. So I look a lot older, which forced me to probably get a team member, which is really good.
Yeah.
So I've got a buyer manager now, which is something that I probably should have done 5 years ago.
Yep.
And that's been great for, I think, my wife. Well, maybe you ask her that. Probably a bit more time at home. And probably also the level of service I can provide to our clients. So that was a big mental block for me because I'm a bit of a control freak. I know I do it right. Mm-hmm. But when you find good people and you invest into them, training is something I sort of had to go backwards to go forwards. I've heavily invested into training the guys. Mm-hmm. But I know now when that phone rings and they pick up that phone, they're very capable. And I'd like to think they've got probably better market knowledge than 90% of the agents out there at the moment in their own right.
Yep. Beautiful. Roscoe?
Probably similar, Jess, in relation to last year was all about sort of back-end processes because I want to make sure that everybody in the whole business had more time to spend in the high-dollar productive activities and to try and put some really great processes in the business, which creates more cadence and so forth. And the thing about that is because we went into the year last year, once again, sort of not really knowing how things were going to navigate. Mm-hmm. So it's about controlling the controllables. And the thing that we really focus on is to really improve our systems and processes so the guys had less to worry about and more time at the end working with buyers, working with sellers to get things done.
Beautiful. That
worked really well.
One thing I'll say about the move, a lot of people think when you move agencies there's something broken. Mm-hmm. I was working in a fantastic agency, great people, great operators. For where I was at, I probably needed my next challenge. Mm-hmm. So that was me personally. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people when they get moving agencies, they focus on splits and things like that. We all know there's agencies you're going to get better splits at. But for me, it was probably where I wanted to head to, seeing how that was done. And that was a team. I probably wanted to have conversations at management level about how I can get better as opposed to what admin you're going to give me because I had a team around me. Mm-hmm. So I think reps that are thinking about those sort of things, you really need to think about where you're at and where you want to be because whether you're on a 60% split or a 75% split, you start writing $500-600 million plus, what actually ends up in your pocket isn't that much
different.
Yeah. But what's going to take you to get to 1.5, 2 million, there's a hell of a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the best of advice on that going through it myself.
It's funny you mentioned that actually because we are having Team Trolio on next month.
Yep.
And the reason I asked them is because I've seen a lot of reps moving agencies, particularly to the agency, and I just wanted to get an opinion from, someone who's done it and they've been there for 6 months or so now as to, the reasoning behind that.
Yeah.
So we will be talking about that more next month.
As long as the purpose is genuine, I think when people make decisions just for money, the money never comes. Mm. I think it's just a bad call.
Yeah. As I said, we'll have that conversation because there is a lot of people moving across to the agency at the moment and there has to be more attraction than just money in that regard.
Yeah, yeah. And you'll probably find a lot of those guys have been teams in their own right.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do if you're coming in the industry is not be around good operators hearing those conversations because you're simply not going to learn as quick.
Yeah.
So it's probably more the established guys know their way, know their systems. Some of those guys might not be going up or down. They might not be writing more. They just know their way. Mm-hmm. It all varies from your own situation. Yep.
Absolutely. All right, beautiful guys. So very quickly, what are you most looking forward to in 2023?
For me, I think we're very focused on some specific outcomes and just controlling those. I'm not interested in, everybody's got an opinion about what the market will or won't do. Quite frankly, I don't really care. Mm-hmm. It's just really focused on some very challenging sort of goals that we put in place.
Yeah.
And just be focused on those for the team, for the business and so forth. And the other thing too is this year, it's really about sort of for everybody in the business is driving hard to have that whole sort of balance thing. Last year was pretty crazy And we want to see, make sure everybody is, you know, physically and mentally healthy. That's mm-hmm. really important to us, even to the point where Australia Day this year falls on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So we've called it on the Friday. We're shut in the office. Everybody still gets paid. But, you know, guys, let's just call it and have the long weekend. Just lots of those little things just to make sure that the spirit in the company is really high.
Beautiful. Shane?
I guess personally, the hard work of training the guys up that we've brought on. Mm-hmm. Is now, I guess, putting them under the pressure and really not holding back at all, knowing that we have the foundations and the systems in place.
Yep.
I think if you do that without the foundations, you're going to have fractures, but no different to a pre-season. The guys are really ready, so I'm looking forward to that. As far as the market, it was probably a bit heated last year, so it's going back to a bit of more traditional market where you're having crucial conversations with owners, controlling the process, because I think for a while there last year, anyone could have sold a home. But I do think now it's so important that an owner is choosing the agent who's going to have that final conversation with a buyer more than ever, because we've all got access to these marketing things, but who's representing your home and having those crucial conversation of things going to make a big difference. So I'm really excited about that.
So that leads me to my next question, which you may have just answered, is one piece of advice for people selling in 2023?
I think there's a lot of, and I'm already hearing it, and I just said to you already that I think the market's going really well. What you don't want is a situation where you know you've seen the media, you know what's happening, you get an offer on your table and you're being told you should take this because interest rates rising, what have you. It shouldn't be at the point you're getting an offer. The process, realistically, if you're doing the right thing by your owner, they should know when you get the offer, the conditions of the market and what's taken place. The scaremongering, I think, happens too often. And we'll never say, and I'll tell you right now, you never want to say an owner, there's not more out there.
Yeah.
Because if someone pops up next week and pays an extra $29,000, you've told them you should have taken this, there's nothing else out there. You can only give them the facts. This is a situation, 29 groups through, 6 home opens, offers at this level. Based on this, this is where we're at. What would you like me to do? So I think owners should be choosing an agent that's going to put them in the best position to make the most educated call on their outcome. Because most top agents have access to the same things. But I do believe there's a big difference between putting the right buyer in front of the wrong agent. That's where it can make a big difference in this sort of climate.
In this market. Roscoe?
Look, I sort of echo Shane's sentiments very closely, actually, Jess, because at the end of the day, and I agree something Shane said, and that is by the time a seller gets an offer on the table, they should be fully informed and be able to recognise whether it's a good or bad offer. So it's making sure that if someone's out there looking to sell, is spend a lot of time in due diligence of the agent and ask them what are their processes, what's the information highway that's going to be ignited between that moment and the moment that an offer comes on board. Don't make the offer the point of educating or informing, because that's when bad decisions are made. Remember, humans come back to basic human psychology, and that is this. We all make decisions based on information. And if we don't have good information, we either don't make the decision or make a bad decision. So it's so important that is a really, really deep conversation it's had, as opposed to how much is your commission. You know what? The cheapest commission will cost you the most.
100%.
And I had a really interesting conversation with someone yesterday. They said, look, Shane, we're getting 3 agents in. I've been referred you. And the first thing I said, where are you off to when you sell? And he goes, why does that matter? Because he's thinking about either renting or selling. And I said, well, I can't really give you the right advice if I don't know your plan. He's like, you're the only agent that's actually asked what my plan is. Everyone's come out, told him what property's worth.
Yeah.
And he's thinking about renting or selling. Do you have a time frame?
Yeah.
No, because rents are strong, you get great rent. But if you're going to go out of the market, you're going to be renting. So getting people's situation at the forefront of every decision is also really important. You know, I've said to some sellers, Shane, we're going to sit out of the market and rent. It's like, do you know what it's like, the renting conditions?
Yeah.
Maybe we should be waiting till you know what your next move is, as opposed to going, yep, sign up, bang, bang, bang. Working on people's situations, I think, and that's the amount of referrals we get. Because even if they didn't end up selling, they go, you know what, he actually asked what we're doing, our plan. No, I'm not the only one that does that. What I'm saying is that should always be the forefront of any decision or any process.
Okay, advice for buyers in 2023? These are, I feel like this is, you know, obviously a seller should be working with a really good agent. Mm-hmm. A buyer is generally out there on their own trying to figure things out from the media.
They are. But see, buyers, there's all sorts of sentiment out there about when you're buying. But I think it comes back to the one thing, don't wait to buy real estate. Buy real estate and wait. You know, that's really it. There's always a reason, interest rates or this or that, the weather, the this, the that.
Yeah.
You know, you see a home, if it's part of your plan, part of your purpose,
just buy it.
Yeah.
Find a good mortgage broker.
The top economists around the country didn't pick what would happen with COVID. So your likelihood of you picking the bottom of the market, it's going to be luck. It's not because you've picked it.
Yeah.
So, again, back to the same thing. What's your situation?
Yeah.
Well, I'd be buying, but if you're an investor, one thing I would say, there might be more stock come on the market, but are you going to continue to see the same amount of limited stock come to market for the rental side? So are you going to get greater rental return? You're never going to pick it exactly.
Yeah.
But your situation should be the one thing that, I guess, determines your next move, no question.
Beautiful. Okay. Looking to next year, couple of little notes I've got here. WA's population grew 1.3% in the year to June 2022.
Jess, I'd jump in there. Something interesting. This is off REWA site, which was posted on the 10th of January.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I read your questions, I'd sort of dug a little bit deep. And what's really interesting about population growth, and this was sort of a question not many people would know the answer to. In June 2010, so we're talking 12 years, the WA's population was 2.2 million. In June 2022, it had grown by 22%, 2.7 million. That's 22% over.
In how much time?
From 2010 to 2022.
Okay.
So that's quite significant.
That's a lot, yeah.
Because there's a lot of, once again, a lot of people say, oh, West Australia, you know, the population has declined. And then back on, you know, we got 1.3% last year. I mean, that bodes very well for where things are heading.
And another 1.5 they're predicting for this year.
For a lot of eastern states people, and I do speak to eastern states people that sort of listen to the podcast and what have you, there's a big misconception. Probably the difference between this boom, and Ross may or may not agree, we're normally on the same page, but unlike 14, everyone that I was selling to was mining-related industries.
Mm. Yes.
I can hand on heart say, sell a lot of homes. I can't remember the last person that has brought a property from me, from the eastern states, that has been anything to do with mining.
Yeah. Right.
No.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
But it was just it was one pillar before.
Does that speak to a healthier economy?
Without a doubt.
A more balanced stable.
It does, and look, we've been selling some properties, and in particular Sydney, some very high end properties, $5-7 million range, have all been from Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's cheap.
Yeah, and also Shane, I think it is cheap, but I think what's happened, I think COVID has recalibrated how people want to live life. And I think economists and so forth, this is an evolutionary thing that's happened. And people now looking at West Australia, like Sydney is Sydney. Mm. I mean, for 3 years it hasn't stopped raining. Mm. You know, it's congested. It's all those things. And people going, you know, there's a better life out there. And they're looking at WA. And interesting, those people that I know that we've sold high-end properties to, they're not expats coming back. They are
completely
Sydney-siders moving to Western Australia or to Perth. So, very, very different world out there.
Yeah.
And that's why, I may be wrong, what I don't think will be the boom or bust this time is, and Justin Davies said when we were in his office, like you can't be down for 21 years.
Yes. No,
sooner or later, things have to change.
Yeah.
Back in 2006, 2007, properties on market, believe it or not, got down to 3,800, right? Now, 3,800, the market was going nuts. I think average days got down around 10. But the difference was then, Bellevue Office didn't exist.
Yeah.
Ellenbrook didn't exist. Elkhamos didn't exist. Mm. We're probably 3 to 4 times bigger than what we were back then.
But do we? 22% is a big change in population. Do we? We're still struggling. Obviously, the rental market speaks to this.
That's the thing. There's not enough.
There's not enough.
Supply and demand dictates it.
Yeah.
It might seem like greedy landlord, but again, I reiterate, a lot of our owners have had it tough for 10 years.
Mm.
So people go, oh, the greedy landlord. You don't understand some of the pain that's happened out there from mum and dads. These aren't people with 19 properties. These are mum and dads that are trying to get ahead, not just rely on their super.
Mm.
So it is time that it probably did pushed back to, I guess, an owner or landlord's way.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So I would like a response to each of the following. And I've said a one sentence, but there might be a little bit more nuance required here.
Jess, how in God's name can Shane and I contain things in one sentence?
I know. One run-on sentence that goes for 10 lines. House prices. And I would like a 6 by 6 month, to be honest. Like, I is the first 6 months going to be different to the next 6 months?
Yeah. I think we'd have to – this is just make it a bit fairer. I think you'd have to split it into two sections. Probably million plus and sub million.
Okay.
But go. We'll go again.
All right.
And based on that.
Based on that,
yeah.
House prices
yep.
in the next year, first six, second six.
I think we'll see 3 to 5% growth
yep.
By July in the sub median house price. So sub 600, let's
yep.
say. Interesting rambling on here, but I've got to ask the West Australian an article that's coming out in a couple of weeks talking about the limited stock now at 600.
Yeah.
Under 600.
Yeah, so
that's what everyday people are buying, for example. I think that'll perform reasonably well. The reality is people that 3 years ago could buy a $2 million home probably can buy a $1.5, $1.4 million home.
Mm.
So I can't see that high end having the same growth, but I think there's enough confidence in the market. It should hold its own.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roscoe?
What I wrote down, Jess, steady with a slight tailwind in core areas.
What?
Which actually probably...
Yeah. Is what Shane said.
What, I just got a little bit
core
more.
Areas. What do you? Can you just? What do you mean? Are you talking suburbs? Are you talking?
Yeah. Look, I think some of your core areas. I think the coastal strip will continue to perform well.
Mm-hmm. Always.
There's a worldwide demand. Anything on along a coastal strip anywhere on the planet.
When you can't get any more property in there. Yeah. There's a limited number of.
In Cottesloe, there's been 3 sales over $12 million on the front.
Yeah.
You're not really worried about interest rates if you're spending $14 million.
No.
And those sort of destination suburbs, like Cottesloe, Atrigue, North, all these areas.
They also can't be replicated.
No.
There's one piece of land. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think you're going to continue to see the pressure, which once again is driven by, I mean, earnings, a lot of people have performed very well financially. Mm. And secondly, that whole migration of people just wanting to be closer from a lifestyle point of view. So, yeah.
Okay. Listing volume.
I'll just jump in. There's a couple of things there. One of them is I think until the building sector catches up, we're going to see certainly a lot around that 600, 700 sort of mark will stay low, even though some people I know in that in the building industry are starting to say they're getting back to a normal sort of business rhythm at the moment, which is good. I think obviously the when the grants came out during COVID, that just
was
threw
insane.
The whole thing into a catastrophe.
Yeah.
So until – because you think about it, like there's 18,000 fewer rentals on the market now than there was in January 2021. Mm. Okay. Now, because like Shane said before, a lot of investors that had a lot of pain for a lot of years sold and the bulk of those properties that were in the rental market were sold to owner-occupiers. Yep. So they're out of the pool. Mm. So until that you've got and a lot of the until you've got the people that have got the homeowner grants and like this lady that works in our office, she's hoping to move in April into their home that was due for completion in April last year.
Mm. Yeah.
Now she's renting. So as soon as her home's complete.
There's 2 properties out the market at the moment.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So as that starts to catch up, I think you'll see some volume come back.
Yeah.
And that will flow into the rental market, obviously.
Yeah. I'd like to think that by August will be closer to 10,000 than 8,000, which is where we've been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, it really depends on that flow. Again, going off the topic. But it's a bit concerning for builders at the moment. They're catching up.
Mm.
But my concern is the drop-off rate of where it is that people are constructing again, which is that boom or bust cycle.
Yeah, you know,
That's a bit of a concern because I'd use an example. If you're a brickie 2 years ago, you're not going to have the same income as probably a year ago, what you're probably going to have next year.
Mm.
Does that affect their lending capabilities and those sorts of things? Only time will tell.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. We've just mentioned the rental market, but predictions for the rental market next year?
I just think all these bits we've spoken about, where they need to normalize to start to flow on into that sector.
Again, everyone's sort of focused on the micro of how expensive it is. we were just as expensive, probably just surpassed it in 14.
Yeah.
2014. So again, it got so low. So when you're saying, oh, there's been a 30% rise, what they're not saying is, but it did fall by 26%.
Yeah.
So you've also got to look at a bit of a
And the other thing with the rental market that I've become aware of recently, just starting to appreciate how many properties that were in the traditional rental market, they're still owned by investors, but they've gone into the Airbnb pool. And that's taken them out of.
Especially in the southwest we just spoke about.
Yeah, and even around Perth, mate.
Yeah.
Like it's quite staggering how many homes in just everyday suburbs are now on the Airbnb market. And that's taken them away from the
long-term tenants.
Yeah, it's just recently I really came to realise how much. So that's also impacted.
Yep.
Okay, so money where your mouth is, Rostradamus.
Yeah.
You've just given 2022 an A and a D in the rental.
Yeah.
Can you grade 2023?
Well, I'll answer it in two ways.
Of course you will.
Sort of Shane said, I think this year will be a game of two halves.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how I'm calling it. There was a fantastic show in New Zealand called The Game of Two Halves, right, which is about football or about, you know, rugby and so forth. And I think it's a great note. It's a game of two halves. I think the first half will be steady as she goes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously the interest rates and just it'll roll on from where we've left off. And the second half, I watched some really interesting commentary from some economists out of NAB and different things late last year. And they, economists by nature, are sort of not the most positive people God ever breathed into, but they were pretty positive about what's going on. And there's a lot of conversation. If inflation does sort of start to, you know, hold, then come the middle of the year, interest rates will come back. They'll start to pull them back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that happens, we're going to see volume increase because then people will start to say, okay, let's go moving again. So I think you're going to have these two effects. So out of that, I'm staying with an A.
Beautiful.
I think it will be an A, but I think it will be a more balanced market in the sense that people know what's happening. Mm-hmm. It was very turbulent. It was very quick last year.
Mm-hmm.
So before you realised that was the data was here, but it was moving very quickly.
It was already
I think
different.
People have a really good understanding. I've already noticed that in January, the buyers, that the few we sold in the first week, they were buyers late last year. It's like they've gone away. Okay, interest rates have gone up. What's our situation? You know what? No, we can still
do
this.
We can handle it.
That's something I really monitor. Really good guide, I think, for the market is the fear of missing out starting to ease a bit, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
So how quick the turnaround from that buyer making a decision on a property, that's something I really gauge. Shane, when can we sign? Last year, come through. Where's a form? It was almost like a rental application.
Yeah.
Now second looks might creep in a bit more because they can just take their time.
Have a break. Mm.
And
have
I think
a breather.
That isn't such a bad thing.
Yeah.
No.
Perfect.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. All right, final question for today. What do agents need to focus on to be successful this year?
I'm going to come back to something Shane was leading into. It's about it's sort of, Shane, you've obviously created a good plan and you're now going to execute it.
I think
the most important thing for an agent is just to be, like, what the market does or doesn't do, none of us have got control over that.
Mm.
I think it's so important to make sure that they have a whole heap of energy and what they can control and get those outcomes. Don't subscribe to all the theories. Even what Shane and I, what we say about the market and stuff, at the end of the day, that's just based on experience and gut feel and stuff. Who really knows when it comes down to it?
Yeah.
You know, so it's an uncontrollable. Mm. I think it's so important people have a really crystal clear plan and they have that unreasonable friend that they actually are accountable to and it's all about what they can control and they'll have a great year.
Beautiful.
I think young reps, learning the right habits, again, you can, in this market, really take time to educate anyone you meet, not just when they're a client of yours. When you're meeting them at home open, engage with people. Treat them with respect and I'm telling you, people will notice. The amount of times we meet someone at home open, they go, man, that was busy, but you actually engaged with me. You spoke, you gave me some info, not just here's a brochure, what's your number, move on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really good way to get rapport in this market.
Yeah.
It does go a long way, especially when others aren't doing it. For established agents, I would say I think it's going to be a mentally challenging year. There's going to be a lot of things going on, the white noise. Stay fresh. And for really good established agents, you can't control the volume, but I think if you can really focus on your market share, and by having market share, you're doing all those one percenters. start to focus on that, because we don't know what's going to happen with what comes to market. But if you can hold that, you know you're doing something right.
Beautiful. That was great, guys. I've missed the little trio.
We're back.
Good to have you back.
Nice to be back, Jess.
Thank you for your time.
See what happens in 12 months. We'll come back to this.
Yeah, we'll come back.
Oh, she will.
Oh, don't worry. I'm making notes. All right. Well, good luck in 2023, and we'll see you in 2024.
Thanks, Jess.
That's it. We're dusting for a year, Shane.
Thanks, guys.